So I'm sure that if you've sold a house or had friends or family who have sold houses, you've seen the St. Joseph statue. And there is nothing wrong with a devotion to St. Joseph. That is a wonderful thing as we've just come out of the year commemorating St. Joseph. But if you ever go and buy a statue of St. Joseph, bury him upside down in your yard, and then basically threaten him that you will only unbury the statue if he helps sell your home, go to confession. And I will spend the time in between thinking of what penance will go with that. Because it is ridiculous. It is the very definition of what St. Teresa of Avila, when she crafted this wonderful phrase, God, save us from sour-faced saints and silly devotions. And she lived about 400 years ago, right? This is nothing new that we come up with these sort of silly devotions. That's a word we use for them, but really what they are superstitions. The word superstition means to stand over. What are we standing over in that? We're standing over God. The reason that there's a problem with superstitious behavior is that it puts us, seemingly, in control of what God does. The devotions of the church are not magic. They're better than magic. Because magic flows from the idea that through secret knowledge, training, words, and actions, I control and master forces that would otherwise not listen to me. In our faith, God has promised, not only does He hear us and listen to us, but He is with us. He is already on our side, so there is no need for magic or superstition. And in fact, as people of faith, as His disciples, as His beloved adopted children, we should vehemently reject any sort of superstition or idea that we can control God, even if it's found within things that seem like popular devotions. That's what's behind our readings. Not the question of devotions, but the idea that God is fundamentally with us, that He desires our salvation, that He is for our good. We have the wonderful proclamation from Isaiah. I'd speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her service is at an end, her guilt is expiated. We have Paul speaking to Titus. When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We need the good news, brothers and sisters, that God is on our side. And we need to understand what that means. Because there can be a resistance, actually, among those of us who desire to follow the faith authentically, to hearing that good news. Because we know that there are people who don't treat grace as something free, but rather as something that is cheap. Something to be abused and presumed upon. And so it can actually foster this sort of fear of the generosity and goodness of God. God's going too easy on me. We can start to believe that God doesn't know just how sinful we can be. That God doesn't understand just how badly I've been impacted by my own fallenness. God, save us from sour-faced saints and silly devotions. That's ridiculous. God knows better than we do how far we've fallen. God knows the wounds that sin, the sins of others and our sins, have dealt to us. But we have not done anything to earn God's generosity, God's mercy, or God's love. Instead, it comes from His kindness and His generosity. Our spiritual lives must begin with the fact that God takes the first step. If we don't start there, we get the whole thing wrong. God takes the first step to save us. Grace is the primary aspect of the spiritual life. There is nothing we have, there is nothing that we do that has not first been given to us. God is good. In our baptism, we aren't just washed clean and set up as some part of a little army that God doesn't really pay attention to. We are brought into the life of His Son Jesus. And what does He say to that Son? "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Jesus knew this already. Jesus didn't need the Father reminding Him of who He is. Instead, God speaks this for our benefit, those who will benefit from the waters Christ has made holy, that we are God's beloved adopted sons and daughters. This is where the spiritual life begins and where it ends. Because we see that running through things, right? That God has saved us through the bath of rebirth. Paul begins, "The grace of God has appeared, saving all." And we have the image also of God as the shepherd who feeds His flock and gathers the lambs in His arms. Ultimately, where we begin with the generosity and the love and the goodness of God is where we end, with the generosity of God in the life of heaven, directed to us personally and intimately. But we know that we have that awful freedom to say no. And so, yes, effort is required. But it is not the effort to save ourselves or to magically or superstitiously control God so that maybe He'll like me and look the other way. What we are offered is something far more beautiful. Yes, the voice cries out, "Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God." And St. Paul does say that the grace of God in saving us trains us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age. But what's the backdrop for that? Paul goes on, very next line, "As we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So this is not hunkering down in the darkness, hoping against hope that the darkness won't triumph. This is already rejoicing in the goodness and the strength of God and being changed so as to live worthy of the goodness that has been given to us. There is still no language of earning or manipulating God's life within us. God is not some distant being, often remote from us, who must be cajoled and tricked into helping us. Yes, this life is difficult. Yes, the church lives a life of persecution in this age. But that is preceded by and followed after with the generosity and the goodness of God. And so we cannot allow ourselves to harden in the face of the darkness, to become so fed up with the lawlessness, as St. Paul says, that surrounds us, that we forget that God has already taken the first step towards us to save us and desires to lead us into the life of heaven, that His goodness already surrounds every aspect of our lives. Even Isaiah, "Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley." This follows after the call to make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. That's not us doing that. That's the work of the power of God. The people of Israel, the people of the church, us. Yes, we work to make straight the pathway. But then God's power takes everything else and makes it right. Sometimes we forget how powerful our God is. We start to believe that sin, sorrow, darkness, death are far more permanent and stronger things than they actually are. But brothers and sisters, we have been adopted by the Father. You are my beloved adopted sons and daughters. That changes things for us. And so can we sift our spiritual lives today as to how that call strikes us? Is there a call coming to us, you are my beloved adopted son or daughter? And so here is where the way needs to be made straight, where you need to be set free from sin so that I can come and make right those things that are beyond your control, so that I can give you my strength to help make your life right? Or do we need to be reminded, you are my beloved adopted son and daughter. You don't have to manipulate me. You don't have to rage against the darkness of the world out of fear. You don't have to give in to bitterness. I'm not far from you. I'm here. I am well pleased with you. This is what the church speaks with her prophetic voice. That prophetic voice that challenges the comfortable and consoles those who are challenged. And if we're honest, we got a bit of both in us. So praise God that He is not one who needs to be manipulated with magic, and that His love is far greater than any magic or superstition. So as we draw close to Him in the Eucharist, may we allow that voice to challenge in us what needs to be made straight, but also to console what is challenged and has forgotten His goodness. And may that generosity and kindness of God that we have not earned, that we do not earn, and that we do not control, overwhelm and bless us this day and every day.